WA has revealed its plan to lift COVID-19 restrictions, with the Premier saying the state has no evidence of community transition. The staggered reopening will mean that from Monday, May 18, healthy West Australians are encouraged to return to work. But it won't be business as usual. My name's Elva Darnell. I'm CCIWA's chief editor, and I'm joined today by Ryan Martin. Ryan manages the largest team of workplace relations specialists in WA here at CCIWA. Ryan, what will businesses need to be thinking about before bringing their staff back to work?
So the state government has said that businesses seeking to reopen are going to need to complete an official COVID safety plan. So this means that employers and employees must work together to adapt and promote safe working practices. And those are going to need to be consistent with advice from health authorities to ensure that their workplaces are able to implement best practice measures, and that will be an important part of the transition back into the workplace. Things that might need to be included in a COVID safety plan are going to be showing that you have processes around cleaning and disinfecting your workplaces, ensuring good hygiene practices of your staff, and that you can satisfy the social distancing measures of 1.5 metres and room capacities and things like that. So this might include rethinking the physical setup of your workplace or doing things like continuing to hold virtual team meetings if you're in an office, or if you're required to have contact with the general public, you may need some additional considerations like getting your clients to complete some questionnaires about their situations or installing sneeze guards to protect your employees. Some other things that you might need to consider is some processes that support the mental health of your workforce during the transition back into the workplace, where they've been working remotely with a bit of flexibility for some time.
Ryan, some of these restrictions mean that businesses will need to look at altering hours to reduce headcount on site. What do businesses need to do to make this work?
So look, part of this process might be, it might be extremely helpful to perform a risk assessment to determine what control measures any particular business might need to implement to help them ensure the safety of their employees when returning to work. And so part of that might very well be needing to manage changing hours or something along those lines to facilitate a reduction in headcount. So that could include just a staggered reintroduction of employees to the office. So just bringing back some of your workforce to start with and identifying who that needs to be and who can continue to work remotely. You may need to change office layouts, or you may come up with some sort of a rostering system where you establish a process to rotate different groups of employees to work from the office every few days and work some of the days remotely for a time. It might also be worthwhile considering having staggered start, finish or break times for your workforce. And that'll just help reduce foot traffic in common areas like reception or kitchenettes and things like that. And also will help provide some greater flexibility for employees that have caring responsibilities. But when you implement any of these changes to established rosters or working conditions, you'll just need to consider whether there's any contractual or award entitlements that need to be discussed or negotiated with your employees before they are implemented.
Ryan, how do JobKeeper flexibilities play into this? Can staff still be redirected to other roles if the business is open?
Yeah. There's still the ability for JobKeeper eligible employers to direct eligible employees to perform alternative duties. But there are certainly industrial relations and occupational health and safety considerations that will need to be taken into account to ensure any direction to perform alternative duties are both lawful and safe. So from a safety perspective, you'll need to consult with employees about their workloads, understand the way they work, perform some task-specific risk assessments, identify any training or other controls that might be required before employees are able to perform alternative duties, particularly if they're unfamiliar with any new role. And then once they're in a new role or doing different duties, you just need to consider how you're going to provide adequate supervision and support, making sure that any support's ongoing. If you're exercising a JobKeeper enabling direction to perform alternative duties, you'll need to ensure that it's safe to do so. So by taking those steps that I've just mentioned, and by ensuring that the provisions of the Fair Work Act are complied with. That includes things like the three-day notice period, consultation, written records, all those kinds of things. And then if you or the relevant employee are not eligible for the JobKeeper scheme, You might still be able to reach mutual agreement with employees. You'll most likely need to do so by agreement, and you'll need to consider any contractual or award obligations that you might have for those employees.
Ryan, special attention has been paid to the hospitality sector. Can you explain a little of the new requirements?
Hospitality is obviously quite a unique industry and is going to have a lot of not just close contact with individuals, but things like handling cutlery and glassware and other considerations that most businesses won't have around shared surfaces. So there's a mandatory training, hygiene training program that's being launched to prepare the hospitality industry to return to business. So it will need to be successfully completed by every staff member at any hospitality venue. And then only then, once every staff member's completed that training, will the business be able to reopen. The course, I think, covers everything from understanding the restrictions that a venue might have, maintaining personal and work environment hygiene practices, how to reduce cross-contamination, cleaning and sanitation, and just any steps they need to take if they have any personal health requirements or concerns.
Ryan, was there anything else from Sunday's announcement that you can think of that businesses need to know or that stood out to you?
No, look, I think it's just a case of ensuring that you think things through when you are bringing people back to the workplace beyond just those basic requirements of keeping a 1.5 metre distance and ensuring personal hygiene. There'll be other things that pop up that you might not have considered, like employees having concerns about how they're going to get to work. So whether they've got to catch public transport, because you might be able to, as an employer, say, our workplace is COVID safe, we've got a COVID safe plan, we are implementing social distancing measures, we've got good sanitation processes, but if an employee to get to your workplace has to cram onto a packed train, they may still have concerns about returning to work. So I think there's just broader considerations that you'll have to meet with each employee on a case-by-case basis.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan, as I mentioned, manages the largest team of workplace relations specialists in WA. You can contact him and the team via our website, cciwa.com.